Welcome to another legislative update program here on WKDZ and WHBO. And, of course, with us today, we're actually recording this program today at H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville after their pancake breakfast. And we appreciate the folks here at H&R AgriPower letting us do that every year. We always come here on Pancake Day and have our program here that weekend. We'll start out today. We have with us here in our studio at H&R, we have with us today Senator Stan Humphries, 1st District State Senator, Representative Myron Dossett, who represents the 9th District, 8th District Representative Walker Thomas with us today as well. We'll be visiting with our other legislators, some of them by phone this week as well. Let's start out with Senator Stan Humphries. Senator Humphries, you might just tell us, busy week in the Kentucky Senate this week. A lot of bills, a lot of legislation being moved this year on and off on a short session. You know, tell us some of your highlights for the week.
Well, good morning, Alan. Thank you for having us. We appreciate the opportunity to be here at H&R AgriPower, and it's always kind of an annual event now that we do this here on Pancake Breakfast Day. And I want to thank Mr. Wayne Hunt and Ross Morgan, Steve, and Jeff, and all the crew here that always are very receptive and putting this on and hosting the great numbers of in the area that come out for this breakfast on this rainy morning. We did have an interesting week. We had it was a short week, actually, a four-day week, but we began the week with a kind of a unique experience where we were able to start the session on Tuesday in the Old Capitol. I, for one, had never been in the Old Capitol, and that's a very unique experience. I think the Capitol was opened in 1830, I believe, and it ran through 1910. And so it just was neat to go back, and you think about all the things that took place while session was in and while that General Assembly met there throughout the years, many years ago. Of course, it endured one of Kentucky's darkest time, our nation's darkest time, with the Civil War, and we were some of the historical figures from that time period kind of came to life with a group that from the Historical Society there that presented some unique experiences for us. But it was just a real nice way to start the week, and we then moved back to the our Capitol today, which was opened in 1910 and still was going strong. And where we began looking at bills through the week, we had some committee meetings. There was a lot of things that took place this week, a lot of social issues that kind of caught some of the headlines this week, Alan, and we can go through some of those later if you want. But there were some issues that, you think there's already laws in place that kind of deal with these issues that plague our society, but we kind of a way to be more in tune, to be assured that we are doing the right thing. Well, there was some additional legislation passed out of the Senate to guard against some of those silly, kind of dirty issues that we don't necessarily want to talk about in public sometimes, but they kind of plague our society, and we kind of dealt with some of those this week. We also, I know there'd be a concern to some of our folks here in the ag country, they updated the ag and grain indemnity bill that passed off the floor in the Senate this week, kind of a old insurance issue that kind of gone by the wayside for the last several years. And kind of an update on the insurance part of that from back in the 80s when that was put in place, I suppose. But there was several bills that made their way through the Senate. And we have some tough issues coming up in some of these areas. One of them is going to be in state and local and the A&R appropriations revenue, where we're still trying to find a way to deal with the KERS pension issue. And this issue is for the upgrade with the cost of their retirement if we don't extend or freeze the rates going after July the 1st. So there are some bills in the Senate. There's some bills in the House that my colleagues can speak on probably a little closer to those bills. But yeah, we have to find a way to try to work with our quasi-governmental agencies, our rape crisis centers, health departments that are having issue with these extreme costs. And if we don't do that, then some of these agencies are just going to be in a terrible situation come July 1st. They're not going to be able to pay those bills, and then what do we do there? So we have to be open to that. Of course, there's the question about the true pension reform. Are we going to get to that this session? There, of course, there's been a task force that was created after the failed special session that has worked diligently trying to find answers. There's been some new members put on there into the from the body that are just really in the educational process right now. So there was a bill filed in the House that deals with pension reform. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be looked at very closely. There's very little savings there, if any. It does require a defined benefit. I don't think that that's necessarily the path forward for new hires with a defined benefit. I think we have to look at the defined contribution. That was something that, of course, as you know, got way out in the weeds last session. The Supreme Court threw the bill out that was passed that I think would have helped the pension system. There's plenty that would disagree with that, and I'm sure they probably will do so again. But we have to find a path forward on this. This is something we can't continue to kick down the can down the road. And if we do that, we are just hurting our many agencies across the state in lots of ways that we should be funding. So I'll pass it on down the line to our other colleagues. But those are a few things that took place in the Senate this week.
And Representative Myron Dawson, you might just give us some highlights. A lot of things going on in the Kentucky House and pensions. You're obviously working on the A&R committee there, and certainly a lot of other things as well. Tell us some of your highlights for the week.
Well, like Stan, I want to say thank you to H&R for allowing us to do. This is our first interview that we've done in person for this session, and it's important. One of the great things about being here for this breakfast, this customer appreciation breakfast, it's important to remember how much agriculture does for Christian County, for Hopkins County, which I also represent. Not only that, when you walk outside here of H&R, it's not only just tractors and implements that are sowed here. It's also things that are people that live within the city, lawnmowers, things like that. And how much our businesses that are tied into agriculture do for this county as a whole. I'm very proud. I've been a part of a few of these in the past, whether it was working in Crofton for Wayne Boyd at Boyd Farm Supply or working for Wayne Hunt at AgriChem and also at Southern States. And always enjoyable to be able to see those customers come in. It's kind of like politics in a way because you're meeting with constituents. Well, here they're meeting with customers, and your goal is to win them over and let them know how much you do appreciate them. But I do want to thank Wayne for allowing us to be here and be a part of this. Very busy week. This has been an extremely busy session. We are actually three full weeks in. We're a little over halfway of the 30-day session. A lot of things going on. As Stan mentioned, there was legislation, two of our freshman members introduced concerning pension reform, pension legislation that they put forward. I'm proud that they took it upon themselves to do it. I think it's something that we can look once this task group is completed. Hopefully there's things within what they put together that can be combined into one piece of legislation. We know that there's other factors at play. The main thing we want to do is ensure for our teachers, for our retirees, that their pension is stable and is sustainable, and they don't have to fear somewhere down the line that they would lose those payments coming to them after they retire. You never want to put that fear into a senior citizen. So we'll be working on that. I'm very proud. I had a couple of pieces of legislation, one that went over to the Senate. I hope Stan will help me on. I spoke with Senator Westerfield about it yesterday, House Bill 62, which will allow you, when you file your Kentucky tax returns, if you have if you're getting a refund back, you can donate a dollar or whatever amount that you would like to our youth assembly. That's a part of YMCA, and a lot of our children here at our schools actually participate in this, and they go to Frankfort, and they create their own legislature and a governor, and they learn how politics, how government works. And it's important for us to encourage those young people to see how this sausage-making thing that we do actually works, and that's our future leaders. So I'm always happy to be supportive of them. I know I've got two young ladies that are next-door neighbors of mine that participated in this past year, and like I said, always happy to help our young people be able to advance themselves as they get older and become adults. Also had legislation that came out of the committee here this week, House Bill 316, which was a piece of legislation I filed. It was brought to my attention that as our military personnel at Fort Campbell may be reassigned or being deployed, some of them have they're signed into contracts with cable companies or GMs or things like that that may have a year membership. And if you break that before that year's over, there is, with that contract, that there's a penalty for them to pay. And it's really not of their choice for those military personnel when they are deployed or reassigned. And this bill basically say that they will be exempt of that penalty. They can't have any past due accounts. That's not to exempt them of not paying their bill, but help them make the move a little easier, transition a little easier for them and their families to be able to go. And of course, the new tax, what we were doing, the cleanup bill on tax reform last year was put forward and actually sent to the Senate as well.
A lot of interest on that, as far, especially nonprofits. Tell us what all is being done in that bill.
Well, the legislation has a fix in there for the nonprofits. Of course, there were things that came through once we passed the legislation last fall due to the Supreme Court. Revenue Cabinet also found places where they should have been collecting sales tax all along, but they hadn't. So we have a fix in there. I had a bill that I had filed for our businesses, a wholesale tax certificate, where they would not have to collect sales tax on tangibles. It's already in place now if you're selling a product to another business, whether it be a part that you hear at H&R where they would work on a piece of equipment where you were selling from business to business, or a service, but the service wasn't. So I had a friend of mine owns one of the dry cleaners here, was doing dry cleaning for another laundry. He was having to charge sales tax to the laundry. Laundry was selling, having to charge sales tax to the customer. We can't be double taxing, so we were able to. That's a part of this. So, and the one thing I do want to remind the entire public, when we did tax reform last year, the goal that we put forward is a 5 to 6 year plan to eliminate the income tax, go to zero income tax in the state of Kentucky, and be based upon a consumption tax similar to Tennessee. When we expanded that sales tax on those other items, or expanded it to different services, the goal on that was whenever we do go to zero income tax and become a consumption tax, we don't have to place sales tax on groceries or prescriptions. That's what Tennessee has done. But I think it's going to be so important for this state to do that, to go to that zero income tax, consumption tax, because we're going to encourage people to want to move here. Businesses to locate here, but also, and I think more importantly, more people to live here. Because one of the problems we have right now, our growth in Kentucky has been stagnant. We've only grown in the last census, I think it was 0.3%. Tennessee had grown by nearly 5%. More people, more homes, that's more tax revenue coming into our school systems. Instead of being stagnant and not encouraging doing things to get people to want to move here, new businesses, this growth will grow that pie, rather than us staying stagnant, limited population growth, and trying to put on all of the burdens that we're having to place now onto that small pool. Let's get more people coming in, working, building homes, choosing Kentucky as a place to live, because it is a great place to live.
Thank you, Representative Dawson. Now we'll turn it to Representative Walker Thomas, 8th District. Representative Thomas.
All right. Well, thank you for having us, Alan, and thank you, Wayne and Steve and H&R for always hosting us out here. It's always a lot of fun, and we really look forward to coming out and seeing constituents and getting fed in the morning, too. I want to thank Beth and y'all for always hosting us and doing this and doing these roundtables and getting the word out to our constituents of what's going on. Following these two guys, I guess they left me all the heavy-hitting stuff for the controversial issues. So should I just dive into some of the
That
are...
Take off.
They got the fun ones, the feel-good ones there, so some of them. There are some bills that are coming through and back on our side now. One a perfect example is HB 11. It's kind of more controversial, and that's being in Western Kentucky with our huge tax base and a lot of our farmers growing tobacco. HB 11 actually outlaws smoking or any tobacco products, including these new vaping and these Juuls and everything, on school properties. So right now it's up to the school counties to decide that, and this would actually outlaw it. So that's one of the controversial bills, of course, and I'm not going to say my opinion on all of them right now, because we're still studying them and seeing if they're going to be viable and passed all the way through. But one of them is the constitutional carry. SB 150 was passed over in the Senate, and it is now over in the House. And of course, that's constitutional carry, which means that you don't have to have a concealed carry license to carry your weapon concealed. A lot of people don't realize that you already have the ability. For 200 years, you can openly carry. We've had that ability. But also, you can carry a weapon in your vehicle if it's a factory-installed compartment. So you can still have one in your glove box and your armrest or something like that, even if you don't have a concealed license. Many of the states that have enacted constitutional carry think that the concealed carry permits will actually go down. In most of these states, they found it to actually go up, that they actually, because people want the reciprocity, I can't ever say that word, I'm sorry, but of being able to go in every different state. With us bordering so many different states, it's nice to know that I can go through Indiana or Tennessee. You know, we bounce back and forth, and that we are legal in both states. So that's another bill. I've been working on one, and I'd really like your help to push it along. The governor is very interested and would really love to have this bill on his desk, but it's more of an economic development. This is the third year I've presented it. It's House Bill 66. So if you can remember Route 66, it's easy to remember the number, but it is basically making tax exempt for military pensions. And no more is it more evident than us living 15 minutes from Clarksville as it is down here. And our goal here is to try to attract the upper level management in the Army to live in our state. And what it was so funny, the other day, Thursday was my daughter's birthday, and I called her to wish her a happy birthday, and she said, "Dad, what's going on with you?" And she said, "Well," I told her, I said, "Well, I'm working on this bill to tax-exempt military pensions so we can get more people to retire into our communities. And these are the leaders that go on to work a second job because they're retiring at 44 years old." But she was sitting there saying, "That is so funny that you mentioned that." She said, "Because my husband and I, who is military, he just went warrant officer. We've been studying the states where we might want to actually retire. And Kentucky, we automatically X'd off because of the tax structure. Now, if we can eventually get to the income tax where it fades down to zero, then it's a moot issue anyway. But why not put this out now? It has a $3.5 million impact across our state. We argue that it's actually a little less. We think it's about a $2.5 million. But for each one of these higher military that resides in our communities and stays here, they have GI bills, their kids go to our school, they're UK fans instead of UT fans, that's important, you know, and they're buying cars and living in our community, eating in our restaurants. We argued that the economic gain far outweighs the little bit that it would cost us. If a $100 million factory was getting ready to locate in Trigg or Christian right now, we would gladly give it a $3.5 million tax break to attract it. What is the difference? These are guys and girls that have fought for our country across our great nation. Let's get them here. I'll mention one more thing on it. Iowa doesn't even have any military posts in Iowa. They found out, they went ahead and tax-exempted their military pensions, and their percentage doubled of how many people resided in their state. Iowa's not one that everybody seems to be, you know, suddenly run into, but that is the small difference. So we need to make Kentucky military strong and the most favorable in the nation.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some more issues here on the Legislative Update Program in just a moment.